I have two central passages of Scripture this morning. One is in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read these verses to you because it's His Word that brings us life. And so the first passage won't be on the screen. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Would you follow along if you're able to, or just listen to this passage, and may God speak to us on this Easter morning. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, Paul says in Romans 1. He says, I'm called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, God's good news, the good news of God, which God promised beforehand through the prophets. I want you to mark that word, promised, through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's the Old Testament, concerning His Son, of course that's Jesus, who descended from heaven according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in the power according to the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of holiness, by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. So I want you to think about that. Paul says, I'm an apostle to preach this good news that was promised in the Old Testament, that Jesus came in the flesh and He is declared to be the Son of God according to the power of the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Christ our Lord. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These verses will be up on the screen. I'm going to read those in just a minute. I want to set the stage here. I want you to be thinking about this important framing of Easter Day, Resurrection Day. And I want to say it this way. Today is the best of days. Easter celebration, the resurrection. How can I say this with force that is appropriate? I can't. Can I say it like this? It is the greatest day in history. It's the day of all days. It's the best day the world has ever known. It's the day that changed everything. It's the turning point on time. It's the brightest morning this world has ever seen. It's the morning that split history into two, and the sunrise was the beginning of new creation. After the Son, who is the firstborn of a new creation that will take place. It's a day that, let's use scriptural Old Testament language, it's the day that the Lord has made. It is a day that Christ was declared to be the Son of God in the power of God. Of all days that have dawned, none compares to this day. Every good day finds its meaning in this day. I don't think that's an overstatement. If there is a best of days, it is today, the day Christ rose from the dead. Now, when my kids were little, and I feel bad because I asked my younger kids, who are now older kids, I asked them, do you remember me doing this? And they go, no. And if I were asked my older kids, they would say, yes. And so I've slipped on this. And so we're going to bring this back, not only to the Patz family, but to Faith Church of Linden, because I did this at my former church. There was a question and answer that I would start, not just on a Saturday night as we prepared for Sundays, which is called the Lord's Day, but we would do this some Sunday mornings at my former church. I would ask a question and the church would answer in this way. I would ask the question, saints of God, or my children, what day is this? And with their mindset, they would say, because we taught them, it is the Lord's Day. And then I would say, why is it the Lord's Day? Because Christ rose from the dead on this day. Did you know that we celebrate Sundays and it was called the Lord's Day in the New Testament? Because Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And so in some ways, every time we gather on Sunday morning, it is a Easter Sunday kind. It is a resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is like that. And then I would ask one more question. What kind of day is it? It is a gift that is glorious and joyful. Now, I don't want to rob you of the blessing of answering these questions. So I'm going to ask you the questions. You're going to see them on the screens. Do your best to respond in kind. Jay's not up here to lead you, so I'll even try to lead you in the answering the questions. So let's give it a try. What day is, we'll start out. Saints of God, what day is this?
It's the Lord's Day.
Why is it the Lord's Day?
Because Christ rose from the dead on this day.
What kind of day is it?
It is a gift that is glorious and joyful.
Is it? Is it really? We celebrate the resurrection this morning on Easter Sunday. Christ rose from the dead. He was crucified for sins. And on the third day he rose. Do you truly believe that it is glorious and a joyful day because of the resurrection? It is a watershed moment in history. And I want to ask us this morning, and I ask with this in mind, this is so important, the message I give to you, it is so important to it. Everything about your faith depends on these truths. Everything about our comfort in this life, true comfort, and comfort forever depends on believing these truths. And I want comfort, and you want comfort. I want joy, you want joy. Our salvation, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life depends on these truths. And our living, so that we don't just squander the breaths of our lives doing stupid things, and we go back and go, what did I waste my life for? But we lived it like God meant for us to live it, purposeful, and not in our puny little strength and power, but with power that comes from above. These truths are meant to shade and light everything about the rest of our being, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we read a portion of these at the beginning of the service when we did the Christ is risen indeed. Look at verse 1. Paul says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. That is that word again. That means good news. I preach to you. It's a message announced, and when it's announced, people were saved. They believed, they responded, and they followed Christ. I preached you which you received, in which you stand. It's something that you stand on in your lives. It's not just something that just flitters by and it's gone. In which you are being saved, he says, if you hold fast to the word I preached you. Now, he then says, unless you believed it in vain. You believe it in vain if you don't hold fast to it. You don't stand upon it. Verse 3, for I delivered, this is the good news, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Just like the Old Testament scriptures said he would. Verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at a time, most of whom are still alive. His point there is to say, as I'm writing this letter, there's a bunch of witnesses, ask them. He appeared to them. They saw it. They're eyewitnesses of the resurrection. It really happened. though some have fallen asleep. Some have died. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. That's the apostle Paul. The gospel, the good news, preached and received and standing upon and holding fast and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins just like he promised in the Old Testament. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day just like he promised both in the Old Testament and when he promised and he told it over and over again to his disciples. Is today really the best of all days? And I would say, absolutely it is. Christianity says it is. True Christians must let their hearts, they need to focus their minds and their attentions to say, I need to remember this is the reason we live. This is the best of all things. This morning, I want to give you some scriptural reasons, three of them. There are three reasons that are like three pairs of two of why this is the best of days. Today's the best of days. And if you're here and you're a believer in all of these things, these are truths we never get over. These are truths that you know, and I pray that you'll hear them maybe in a different way, and you'll hear them by a special means of the Holy Spirit working through just a very imperfect preacher. And you'll respond by going, that's what I have believed. I believe it even more. My faith has been strengthened. I want to live in the light of these things. I want to live because of these things. I want the way I live be flavored by these things. And if you're not a believer, or you're not sure if you're a believer, or you're not even sure what that means, that this message would be both warning and invite. Warning to say, you must grapple with these things. You must respond to these things. If you're not responding to them, you're already responding to them. And you're under God's judgment. That's warning. I would not love you. I would not be caring to you if I didn't warn you to say, you will face the judgment wrath under your sins if you don't come to grips with and properly respond to these things. But it's invite because I say, oh, there is an open-armed, holes in his hand, Savior who is alive, who though he's not on earth physically right now, who stands in heaven and he offers his arms to you through the preaching of people like me and through people in this room that say he welcomes you. He invites you to have his life, his forgiveness, his salvation. Here are the three things that I want you to just ponder. It is Easter. Most of you, maybe not all of you, will have what we call an Easter lunch, Easter dinner. We feast, we eat physical food. There is something way better than physical food, and that is spiritual truths for the soul that God intends to help us digest in order that our minds and our hearts will be changed and we are different. And it's a spiritual miracle he does in our hearts. I pray that he will do that for us for just a few minutes. Here's the first reason this is the best of all days. One, because God fulfilled his promises and proved Christ is the Messiah. I want you to let your voice sing this morning, this afternoon, this evening, and for the rest of your life. This is the best of days. Every Sunday you can say, as you think of the resurrection, is the best of days. In fact, every day is because of we live in light of this, is this because God fulfilled his promises and Jesus is the real deal. He is proven to be the Messiah and the King. Jesus rose from the dead on that third day, and he fulfilled the Old Testament teaching and prophecies and the words that even he publicly declared that he would come, and it was proof that he was real. The Old Testament gave cryptic and sometimes more easy to understand and sometimes more difficult to understand. And Jesus, as he came onto earth, said, don't you understand? You need to see the scriptures. This is what I was intended for. So much so that after he rose from the dead, as he is talking with his disciples, they don't know who he is yet. He's hid from their understanding, and he started to show them from the prophets of the Old Testament in Moses these things that he would suffer and then he would be raised to glory. Psalm 16:10 said, David wrote, "You will not abandon my soul to death, nor let me see corruption." I don't think David fully knew what he meant when he was writing that psalm, but the New Testament writers say he was really prophesying about a greater David, Jesus, who would come, and God would not abandon his body to death, but would raise him up. And we find, like Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, these statements from the prophets in which he says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. And they're thinking, okay, that's a prophecy of God's people being raised after their horrible judgment. And there is a picture and there is a forecasting of in the third day, Jesus would raise. As I read in Romans chapter 1, the resurrection means he is the Son of God. He really is the one who he said he was. 3 times in Jesus' ministry, he pulled his disciples together and he says, we're going to Jerusalem. And when I go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me, kill me, crucify me, and I will raise on the third day. He promised that. I want to encourage you with these practical realities about because God fulfilled his promises and he proved that Christ is Messiah, these things are true. God knows and controls the world and the future. We just sang about that. Because we know he holds the future, we can sing. God can make prophecies thousands of years ago about a death and a resurrection of the Son of God, because God not only knows the future, he controls the future. And if that's the case, he controls today in our lives. And that should bring us great courage as we trust him. The events leading to his arrest were part of his plan. God foreordains his plans, and he works all things together for the good of his own. Here's another truth about this reality. On this Easter, feast on this truth. God is faithful to keep his promises. I need that. I am prone to be anxious about what I see around me. I'm guessing you get stressed out, discouraged, and frustrated because of the things that happen in this world or your family or in your workplace or school or wherever is influencing your emotional life, and it can be really troubling. I need to know that the God who says things like, I will never leave you or forsake you. What does that not leaving or forsaking really mean for me? It means, well, Romans 8:28, he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called to according to his purpose. That means the God who predicted his death and resurrection and promised it is in control of history, is in control of my history, your history. And on Easter reminds us that God just, he makes promises and his word is always faithful. He never lies. He never spills any wasted words. Everything we can take for literal truth that we can bank on it, that he will keep his word. If he says he will forgive my sins, even though I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel, he will forgive my sins. If he says that he will take me home to glory, he will work all things for good, he will do that. And the resurrection reminds us that. The resurrection means that Jesus is the true king of the world. Jesus is not just a great teacher in the first century who meant well, was martyred, but was mistaken, like some people like to say. They say his teachings were brilliant. He just was ahead of his time and he was crucified. He thought he was the real deal. No, he rose from the dead, so proving to be and declared the Son of God with all power and glory. Jesus is the King of the world. He rose from the dead. And so this morning, I cry out to you, do not doubt that he's alive. Do not doubt that someday you will face him as a judge. But he really is the Son of God, and he rose from the dead. It says that he is at the right hand of the Father now. Do you know that? If he is alive and he is king and he is who he said he is, which the resurrection says, we should bow down on our knees every day and say, my life is yours. And what a wonderful place for it to be. Please lead me, Jesus. And if these things are true, if Jesus is alive, he is the only way to the Father, because that's what he said is the truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the light of the world. No one comes to the Father but by me. Do we believe these truths? Do you doubt that he's alive? Do you bank on it? Do you believe that God keeps his promises? That he's in control of the world? That he is the only way, and you've received and you've followed him the way? Is he really Lord, and have you given him your allegiance, or do you kind of just half-heartedly follow him? People will disappoint us. All the people that you will try to put your trust in and give your allegiance to. But this Savior King who rose from the dead will never, ever disappoint you. Number one, today's the best day because God fulfilled his promises and he proved Christ to be the Messiah. Number two, today is the best of days because of the resurrection. God saved us from our sins and gave us eternal life. We read this in 1 Corinthians 15, which speaks of the resurrection, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. A little bit later on, Paul says, there are some that deny that the resurrection, who could believe that a resurrection, a human could come back from the dead? I've never seen it. And Paul says, if you deny that, we're preaching that he did raise from the dead, our preaching is misrepresenting God. If Christ had not been raised, he says in verse 17 of this chapter, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's empty. It's no good. And you're still in your sins. Romans 4:25, Christ was delivered for our transgressions, our sins, and he was raised for our justification. Jesus was raised. Easter exists. This is the best day because Jesus was raised for our justification, so that someday we will stand before God justified. And he will say, why should I let you in heaven? And we'll say, because I've been declared clean and righteous based on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has applied it to me, not because of me, not because of my behavior. I could never do good enough in order to get right with God enough for him to say, you're good enough for heaven. But Jesus did, and he rose from the dead, and he is all my righteousness. And I am declared absolutely acceptable for God. Then someday at the judgment, and for all who right now have put their trust in, you are acceptable to God. He loves you. You are received by him. He smiles at you. His arms are wide open and he pulls you in. Today is the best of day because God saved us from suicidal living that runs away from God and does things that destroy us, our hearts, our souls, our minds, who comes and captures the greatest of sinners. Paul said it this way in Romans 8:34, to the Christian, who is to condemn you? If you're justified, because he rose from the dead, we can say, Christ Jesus is the one who died, that's Good Friday, was raised, the Easter, who, what did he do after he was raised? He sat at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. Jesus is risen and doing something right now for us. He is at the right hand. All authority and power and glory has been given to him, and he's doing something still today, right now, for Christians who have put their faith in him. He is interceding for them. It's as though his wounds and his blood and his priesthood is before the Father, and the Father constantly looks at favor with us because Jesus is right there and says, I died for them. And so love them as you love me. And the Father says, as I have planned, I receive the ones that you have purchased and you have covered with your blood. Here are some wonderful truths that because Jesus, God saved us from our sins and eternal life, this is the best of day, this Easter day. Jesus' death is the true payment for sin that God has fully accepted. This is so good. Oh, I pray that you'd know it. I pray that you'd feel, you'd eat your Easter meal today knowing that you, an undeserving sinner, are cleansed. He loves to save sinners because of Christ. Christ died and he rose for your justification if you will receive Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes your sin from you and he starts to change you. If you say that, but that doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't seem right or fair, then you're starting to get it a little bit. It doesn't seem right, and it is not fair, but it is glory, it's grace, it's mercy. The resurrection is glorious, that he saved us from our sins and gave us eternal life. Because Jesus is alive, he now serves in heaven as our intercessor. And even right now, this imperfect preacher has someone praying for him, interceding for him. You, right now, in all that you know, if you're a believer, you know how, well, as you grow, you're going to know how messed up you are and how much you need him, and you have him. And Jesus is living as your great high priest right now, serving you. And his wounds effectually speak on your behalf, and the Father is pleased with you because of Christ and Jesus' intercession. Because of the resurrection, he saved us from our sins and gave us eternal life. Here, I want you to think of this. Eternal life is given to Christians who receive Christ. Now, you say, if you've received Christ. So that's warning if you didn't. An invitation if you haven't, because I say, receive him today. He gives you eternal life now to all who believe. Eternal life is not just a future. When you die, you get eternal life. Eternal life starts now. For whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But that eternal life starts now because his Holy Spirit, who gives that eternal life, comes in, and it's a life. His Spirit works in us where all of a sudden you start to say, he is my Father. Where'd that come from? He loves me. Where'd that come from? I want to follow him. Where did that come from? I didn't want to follow him before. Jesus is real. I didn't believe he was that real before. He is real and he bears witness on my life. Where did all of that come to my mind and my conscience and to my loves? It's because life is at work in me, eternal life. Why do I love the things of God? Why do I trust him even when things are going so bad that he's still in control? It's because eternal life has begun to live in the Christian. Jesus said to his disciples and to the crowds, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life that they might have their sins forgiven. And no one has the power to take my life from me. We'd say, what about Pilate? What about the Romans? What about the Jews who arrested him? No one has power to take my life. I lay it down on my own accord and I will raise it up again. And then in that very section, he says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And it's not just when we die and go to heaven. It's now. It's now. And it is when we die and go to heaven. And it is when Christ returns. Eternal life goes on forever and ever for those who believe. Oh, brothers and sisters, friends, this life is so short, even if you live to be 90 or 100, it is still so, so infinitesimally small compared to infinity that will go on forever, or eternity that will go on forever and ever, and we will live either in judgment before God or we will live forever before God in absolute bliss and glory. And so there's warning and joy, blessing and grace. Oh, eternal life goes on forever for those who believe in him. Our inheritance is in heaven, in which we await a Savior, and our lives will go on forever. Are you justified? Have you had your sins covered? Are you in Christ? Are you alive? Oh, I warn you. I invite you. I encourage you. This is the best of all days because today means these are the reality of the Christian. Will you be one today by receiving Christ? Lastly, this is the best of all days because Jesus rose from the dead for this reason. Because God empowered us for purposeful living. God empowered us for purposeful living. Jesus rose from the dead, not just to save us and to leave us living stupid, wasted, short-sighted, self-centered, living in this little world of me kind of living. God saved us and rose from the dead in order to raise Christ, set him at the right hand of God, gave him all power and authority in order to save you and me and to put power in us. That's this eternal life, so that we would have missions in our lives, that we would live with purpose. Our world is just dying for purpose. Men and women are dying for purpose. Young people, they want to live for a reason. They realize how empty it is to just live and live the me life, to do what I want to do. God died on the cross, rose from the dead in order to empower us by his Holy Spirit to live purposeful lives. Matthew chapter 28 says that he rose from the dead, and then the resurrected Lord looks at all of his disciples as he's about to ascend into heaven, and he says, all authority now has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go and make disciples. Romans, Acts 1:8. I have been given, there's going to be power and authority that's going to come on you, and you will be my witnesses of that I'm a resurrected Lord, and I am the hope for the world. The power that raised Jesus from the dead raised the cripple man in Acts chapter 4. And everyone was astounded how Peter and the disciples, these fishermen, could do this. And Peter says, by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by this man Jesus, the resurrected one, he stands before you. Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, oh, I want you so desperately to know the hope to which you've been called. He didn't just save you to just leave you here. The riches of your inheritance, verse 19, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards those who believe in him according to the working of his great might. If Jesus died and rose for you, He did not leave you alone. That resurrection meant he gave you his spirit and he gives you a power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he intends for you to use it to grow to be more like him in your soul, grow in holiness, and to be more like him and let your lives share a message and live loving lives that are transformed by his power. Jesus is alive, and he sent his spirit to be in us and with us forever. That's why this is the best of all days. This is the best of all days because Jesus is alive, and he sent you and me on mission to make disciples of all nations. We do not live for our retirement. We don't live just to pass on memories to our children. We do not live for our pleasure of any kind. We live for the pleasure of our Savior who loved us and gave us for us and gives us true pleasure in him. The good news, the gospel, this news of Jesus dying and raising from the dead, and what you're going to do with that message, will you accept it or reject it? Will you receive it and stand upon it that it might save you? This good news is the message that is empowered by God to save even the greatest sinners. God has given you resurrection power to go into your workplaces, to go into your home and raise your children with resurrection power of a message repeatedly of God's love in Christ, that you would bring it to those around you. And just like he has done for 2,000 years, he empowers this simple but awesome message to change lives and for you to invite others to receive eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and because this is the best of all possible days, the church, God's people here in our community, gathering all over, spread out this world, is destined to spread the message of his resurrection to the whole world, and they're going to do it with power because we are not left alone, because there is a man, the man Jesus Christ, who is also God, who rose from the dead, is alive. He sent us on a mission, and he said, I'm going to be with you always, which means my power, my spirit. Now go in that confidence. Do you know the promises and the power and the reality that you've been called to purposeful living, that it's yours? I want to invite you this morning one more time. If you have collapsed into the arms of a living Savior by trusting in him, everything is going to be all right. And if you will collapse in his arms, as he extends himself to you this morning through his church, saying, if you will receive Christ, Jesus says, if you will receive me, I died and was buried, and you say no to your efforts to get salvation and receive my gift, and you turn from your sins and repent, I will be your Savior, and I will lead you unto eternal life. Oh, would you fall into his arms this morning? Saints of God, what day is this? It is the Lord's Day. Why is it the Lord's Day? Because Christ rose from the dead on this day. Why? What kind of day is it? Oh, it is a glorious day. It is a joyful day. Because it is a day that reminds me, it reminds you that God is so in control of the world. He is keeping all his promises. Christ among them is the real Messiah. He is alive. I don't need to doubt anymore. I can believe. He really is Savior, and he has atoned for my sins and was raised so that I would have life forever. And he sent me on the greatest cause ever, and I must live for him. It is a glorious and joyful day. May it be for you. I invite you to that. Let's pray. Father, Would you help us to hold fast to these truths? This is the good news that is preached to us. I pray that we would receive it. I pray that we would stand upon it. I pray that we would hold fast to it and remind ourselves of this and thank you for it and apply it and thank you that it saves us and makes a real difference. God, if there is anyone in this room, and I'm guessing there is, that has not fallen into your arms, Father, or fallen into Christ's arms, have come to Christ, that they would today, that they would ask Jesus right now in their seats even to save them, that they believe him, that they see him differently now, and they need him and will follow him. Oh God, would you do that work in souls here and elsewhere? In Jesus' name, amen.